Thank you for listening to Abstract Illusions Radio. With each breath of air, gain new insights and inspirations as we explore and expose the different aspects of the human experience. Now with your host, Jennifer Hillman. Good evening, everyone. This is Jennifer Hillman, and yes, we're finally live. Today we have Reverend Kenneth Roberts on again. This man has an amazing knowledge. He's been studying metaphysics and spirituality for like years. And if I ever have a question about something, I always give him a call, and he always has such clear answers on so many areas. So tonight, after talking to someone who calls in quite often, Christina, who's also on the line, she had questions about the dimensions and about exactly all of that means. So I went to Ken and said, hey, Ken, let's do this show. So Ken, welcome back again. It's always wonderful to have you on. And let's just have fun with this. You have a lot of wisdom on spirituality. I'm just going to kind of like hand it over to you.
Right on. Well, thank you, Jen, for having me back on again. It's sort of interesting. I was just talking with somebody not even 4 days ago on the phone, and they were asking me about multidimensionality and how it relates to our spiritual evolution and our consciousness. And then when you called with these questions, I was like, oh, yeah, I want to do this. So this is a perfect forum. I guess where I'd like to start is in tying the multidimensional aspect of reality into our spiritual growth and our evolution on a consciousness level. You know, on a very basic level, let's start with like third dimensional aspect, which our third dimension on an energetic level is all tied into our chakras. And the chakras each have a certain frequency and vibration of energy that they help move through our physical body as it's manifested into physical form. And they help to transmute some of our more etheric energies out of that physical body and create a gentle process of give and take from the universal flow of life force into our bodies. And then sort of releasing out that excess or energy that's been transmuted or changed, shifting lower vibrations, lower frequency energies out of our bodies. So on a lot of levels, as a third dimensional being, our focus has mainly been held in our lower three chakras. Our base chakra, which deals with our fight or flight and survival instinct. Our sacral chakra, which deals with our creative and procreative energies. And our solar plexus, which deals primarily with our willpower and our ability to affect our reality, our world, our universe around us. Part of the evolutionary process of raising our consciousness and raising our vibration is about bringing our consciousness from, say, that level of the solar plexus where it's trying to control our world, trying to be in control of our day-to-day life and our life experience. Bringing that energy, which is of a certain frequency and vibration, up to our heart chakra, which is of a slightly higher frequency and vibration, where we then can take that to an emotional level, a higher emotional level of unconditional love, acceptance, where we find our peace is sort of based in our heart, being happy, knowing that we're loved, knowing that we're all connected on some level starts at the heart chakra level. When we connect with others at the heart chakra level through our relationships, through our day-to-day work experiences. And part of that process involves taking that energy up another notch, which brings it up to being able to speak our truth at the throat chakra level. Being able to share with people in a very clear expression what our spiritual truth, what our love example is, what the vibration is that we're bringing out in our day-to-day lives. That energy also gets brought up into our third eye, which allows us to see new ways of doing things, to have insight into each other, to have insight into how we're affecting our day-to-day life. Sometimes we will notice, you know, that if you're having a bad day and your base chakra is, say, very active because maybe you have fears of job or some security issues going on with work, that lower vibrational energy, as it works its way up, can be expressed from a higher level, from our heart. Instead of letting it be in fear and stay trapped in those lower three chakras, we can bring that energy information up to our heart and up to our throat so that we can express that I am not in a space of fear, that all things are in their proper time and place. And that gives us the ability with that third eye to see a new way of dealing with things, to sort of disconnect from a gut response, which is our solar plexus saying, I have to be in control, or an emotional response, our lower heart chakra saying, I feel this way about it. When we start to get into the third eye and the crown, that's where we're starting to function in our spiritual sense of self. That's where we're taking a moment as the detached observer that goes, this is what I think about this situation in life. This is what I feel about it. But instead of reacting, you respond from that spiritual perspective, which is sort of, like they might say, taking the higher road. This is all about conscious evolution. It's about being able to think of things at a deeper and deeper level of awareness, being more aware instead of just having that gut response or just that emotional outburst, being able to, like the old statement of what would Jesus do? It's taking it outside of our ego and letting our spirits express a deeper truth and a deeper understanding of what we're experiencing. Now, this is where we're in our third dimensional body, and we're looking at the way these chakras are a matter of increasing our vibration, increasing our awareness and our attention of our consciousness in different areas of the chakras, different energy vibrations. When we start to reach, say, the third eye and the crown, that level of vibration, that level of frequency contains information that's sort of undecipherable to the solar plexus ego-based energy. It takes us into where we start to tap into the fourth dimensional space, which is space-time on a metaphysical or quantum physics or even particle physics level. We're starting to look at how that space-time awareness literally gives us access to, say, our dreaming body. We may have had a dream where in the dream we become conscious and aware that we're in a dream. And in shifting our consciousness, our full awareness into that dream, inhabiting that fourth-dimensional astral body, that dream self, that's raising that consciousness into that fourth dimensional awareness. So from that point, we're starting to be able to tap in to space-time as that fourth dimension, where we can access our past lives, we can access the present time at a much deeper level, being here and now, in the very much in the now. And we can also start to take a look at the potentials for what's in front of us, what's in the future. Not as a hard and fast going to happen, but as the potential for the way things may unfold with clarity. So I guess tonight, being the first part of this, I'd like to keep it more focused on staying at the third and fourth dimensional aspects for right now tonight, and discussing a little bit about how our third dimensional being expresses and experiences its existence in the third dimensional plane, and how we're attempting to raise our consciousness to the fourth dimensional plane and beyond. For me, this always has been sort of tied into like a creation myth that I have for myself, my way of describing and understanding the way the universe works. And this is my creation myth. This is the way I sort of describe the way I've experienced my multidimensionality from the first going through the fourth level and the fourth dimension.
Okay, now before you go any further, how did you get that belief system or that merriment, that dance of how you're seeing your universe, your myth? What exactly did it take you to kind of meld all these together? What was your spiritual practice, or what was your teaching, did you have a guru? I mean, a lot of people now I know that are looking for a spiritual practice, and before we get into the meat of the conversation, I just want to give them a basis kind of where, again, you come from in that sense.
Okay. Well, a lot of it for me started out very, very young, becoming clairvoyant at the age of 4. I was almost 5 when I started seeing energies and having empathic awareness of the people around me. And as I got a little bit older, it expanded to the extent where, I guess the way I've always described it is like if you had a wall with 10 television screens on it, and each one of those 10 television screens is showing a different sitcom, and you know every character, every backstory, the full history of from when that show first started, everybody that's been on it, and all the permutations of their life. And now imagine that there's 10 of those shows that are on all at the same time, and you're consciously tapped in and aware of all 10 of those shows simultaneously. I sort of grew up feeling everybody around me's emotions and very curious. So a lot of where I started with my spiritual path was in the basis of Christianity. It was reading through the Bible. It was studying not just the King James Version, but looking at the original Judaic texts, looking into Hinduism, Buddhism, Zen, different philosophies, and seeing how they were all saying very similar things, just different terminology. For example, multidimensionality came to me more when I started studying about quantum physics. But all of a sudden, things that had been illusions and metaphors in a religious context became a scientific application of that context. So, like in the Kabbalah, they have the Tree of Life, which are 10 Sephiroth, 10 spheres of influence. And on a lot of levels, those 10 spheres represent 10 different worlds, 10 different kingdoms, 10 different dimensions. In quantum physics, they talk about multidimensionality being based in, say, third dimensional form, mathematics shape, and then the fourth dimension being time and space. There's a lot of different levels that, as I read through different books, studied different things on my own, I made assimilations and associations and connections, tapping into what I can only call past life awarenesses of life experience itself. So for me, I would see connections between what I was reading in quantum physics and what Buddha said. I would see connections between the parables that Christ taught with Zen traditions on how to live your life more fully. All of these different things sort of blended into me creating my own understanding of how the world worked, right down to starting even concepts like numerology and how numbers progress in reality are all tied in. So it's a smattering of almost everything I've ever read that's led me to this synthesis of all this information into one cohesive picture that works for me. It may not work or fit for everybody else, but we're all responsible for our own universe. And for me, this is how it works. It allows me to interact with my universe in a way that I'm comfortable with, that I'm confident in, and that I'm fully aware of. So I'm not having experiences where I'm missing gaps of information that I'm just totally oblivious to or refuse to look for. I'm always looking for a new key, a new aspect, a new feature, or facet of reality that fits in or makes me question my view of how the world works. It's a lot like It's like the law of attraction, for example. Very simple, very basic concept. What we focus on radiates out from us, and it manifests in the world and comes back to us. If we're constantly focused in fear, then we tend to lead a very fearful experience. If we're constantly focused in love and happiness and peace and content, that tends to be what the universe shows to us and what it brings back to us. So it's, for me, it's about creating our reality and creating our universe around us through our consciousness, through choosing what to believe, how we view things, what our perceptions are, releasing limitations that hold us back from expanding or experiencing something new, and basically finding ways to work through change, which is one of the only constants. Does that help a little bit in where I'm coming from?
Yeah. Let's go ahead and bring Chris in before you get going, just in case she has questions that might help you direct the way you're doing it. Does that sound good?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay,
hi,
Chris.
Jen. Hi, Jen. Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Christine. How are you doing tonight?
I'm very good. I was listening to you talk about the multi-dimensions, and I was thinking about the movie Star Trek, when Captain Kirk met Captain Picard in the time continuum with the character Q.
Uh-huh.
And then I was thinking, is that the fourth dimension?
It is definitely an aspect of the fourth dimension. I guess the way I sort of view the fourth dimension, which is the dimension of space and time, is that,
which would be no time, correct?
Exactly. It's like in Reiki, they have a healing symbol that's called no space, no time, Om Shay Zeshonam. In the fourth dimension, for example, trying to access past lives, we might refer to it as a past life, but it's what I call a simultaneity. All time, past and present, exists right here and right now in this present moment. It's our perception of it that's limited by this third dimensional consciousness.
So if we step outside of the third dimension, enter into no time, then our awareness would be an awakening to see all that was and is?
Exactly. It allows us, well, as we raise our vibration, as we work through our energies and our chakras, psychic abilities are actually like a byproduct of raising our consciousness. Those sounds,
would that then conform with the tree of knowledge?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. And when that fruit was tasted of, we became aware of a wide variety of things that are perhaps too much to all be held in one dimensional awareness. So our awareness is sort of split and present in several different spaces simultaneously.
So when mankind tasted the fruit of knowledge, that would be a good time that he transmutated from being an animal to a human being?
I'm sorry, what was that again?
From being animal to being human?
Yeah, on a lot of levels. That was like where we took our first step up from being just an animal consciousness, which is sort of sad because if we look at animals, they're very much at one with their whole universe.
Mm-hmm.
They know the seasons and the cycles of life and death that are around them. They don't necessarily experience fear the way we do. They move through things with full acceptance. They don't resist.
So an animal chakra would be running on their base chakra or their heart chakra?
No, actually, animals have their own system of chakras just like we do. It's part of their energetic makeup as well.
Mm-hmm.
it's more a level of, okay, for example, the consciousness level on an evolutionary scale. If we were to look at, say, the caveman, he functioned very primarily in his base chakra. He was all about fight or flight, survival energy, just getting through each day, feeding himself, finding water, and surviving all the dangers.
Right.
As he started to evolve, his energy rose up and his sacral chakra became activated. And then he started realizing, well, hey, you know, I've noticed that if I conceive a child in these months, it has a greater opportunity to survive than in those months. He started looking at his procreative ability. He also, at that point, was reaching into his creative energies, painting on the walls, starting to use tools. That led him to also start to expand and see the world and realize, wow, we've been traveling around, following wherever the herds go. We've been traveling with the seasons to get to where the next set of plants that we live on are active. Then their solar plexus became activated and they started going, why don't we gather seeds and we'll plant these crops in this area and one area. And instead of following the herd, why don't we gather the herd and start doing animal husbandry, just like we're doing with our own bodies. We can produce our food and our environment in one area. So we quit being hunter-gatherers and we started being sort of like animal husbandry guardians of our land and our reality. And it was during that time frame that a lot of consciousness started shifting, which brought about the Christ consciousness, which was the energy moving to the heart chakra. One of Christ's greatest messages was that you should love yourself, love your neighbor as you love yourself, and love your God above all others. That was the greatest commandment that he gave. And that was all about opening up that heart chakra and being able to express it is part of where we've come in this last 2,000 years, is bringing that up to our throat chakra so we're expressing it openly. We're seeing how that love energy and love consciousness can change the world in very small ways and in huge ways. And like we talk about right now, we're coming into the age of Aquarius. Now, if you look at it, one of the symbols for Christ was the fish, which is representative of the symbol of Pisces. If you look at the symbolism, Aquarius is the aquarium, the water bearer, and he's pouring out the waters of consciousness onto humanity. So as we enter the Aquarian age, we're raising that vibration, that frequency, that chakra energy up to a new evolutionary point where we're activating more of that higher consciousness, taking it from not just being an emotional level of love, but a spiritual awareness and a spiritual unification.
Will there be a mass conscious awareness, including agnostics and atheists?
Oh, most definitely. In fact, right now, there have been, on an astrological level, there have been many conjunctions going on that haven't been seen in thousands of years. There's been rapid changes in the amount of vibration and radiation type energies that are coming to the planet. So, for example, if, say, somebody was trying to do, say, a magical spell 500 years ago, it would have been like the sun was a 500-watt bulb, and that was how much energy was available for them to do this kind of work. In today's world, it's like there's a 5,000-watt bulb.
Right.
So even people that are semi-conscious are having huge elevations in their awareness levels. They're becoming more aware of their emotional causes for why they react certain ways. They're becoming more aware of how their emotions are affecting their physical body's health.
Right. Now, these multi-dimensions, they're collapsing.
Very much so.
So as they collapse, it's going to be compressed.
It's sort of a dichotomy, because on one hand, we would talk about them collapsing.
Mm-hmm.
On another hand, it's a matter of unification.
So it's emerging.
Like if we've talked a little bit about the fourth dimension being time and space, And we have these seven chakras in our physical body. Well, once you start to get into the fifth and sixth and seventh dimensions, those, say those lower three chakras, like your base chakra at the tip of the tailbone, your sacral chakra just below your belly button, your solar plexus at the tip of your sternum, as you have a higher form in another dimension, those three chakras are unifying into one chakra energy at a higher vibration. It's synthesizing and unifying all three of those energies into one energy. So on
so
one
now,
hand,
when I think about energy and then I think about the atom and then I think about the nucleus, in the center of the nucleus is time, space, or it's just void, except that there is one thing in there, but nobody knows what it is.
Right. They've started to explore subatomic particles. Even the movie The Golden Compass, when they talked about the God dust, there's actual scientific experiments going on right now that they refer to it as sort of like the God dust, because these subatomic particles that they're observing are being changed and altered by the act of observation, which is very much what they were talking about in The Golden Compass. It's sort of a scientific level of explaining how energy follows thought, and what we think does manifest and create molecular change in the environment around us, right down to being able to access healing our own bodies by consciously changing the way our DNA is sending messages to our cells and how to function. So it allows us to reach that level of higher Christ consciousness, where he said, even these miracles that he's done, we too will do those and more. That's very much what the Christ consciousness for me is about. It's about reaching that level of unification, that level of understanding that we are all divine beings connected to the divine source, and we are all connected to each other through that divine creator source. So as we come into that realization and we actualize it into our physical third dimensional experience, it gives us the ability to do what would have been considered miracles, but are actually nothing more than our divine right as sons and children of God.
Absolutely. I mean, today, and in fact for probably the last 50 years, a virgin could conceive through artificial insemination.
Most definitely.
So the virgin birth is very scientific. I've always said God's probably one of the greatest scientists in the universe. Science is, you know, finding truth.
That's sort of like, earlier I was starting to talk a little bit about my creator myth.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of look at like the first dimension as being that divine creator source, this vast, omnipresent, conscious intelligence that we would label as the divine or God. And as it became aware of itself, it became aware of different facets within itself. When it became on that awareness level, it basically created the second dimension by recognizing polarity within itself. It created the second dimensional aspect where everything is light or dark, positive or negative, masculine or feminine. And through that awareness, those two energies, masculine and feminine, active and powerful and the life-giving force, they joined together and they created a third force that was larger and greater than the sum of the previous two forces. So this consciousness, this divine awareness, became aware of itself in its duality, and in doing so, that union of awareness created this third dimensional physical reality so that it could experience in a dense physical body its sense of self through our existence. Through the trees, the rocks, the plants, the humans, the animals, we are all like an aspect of the divine that was created solely so that the divine could experience its own creation.
Which takes us back to the Word, and the Word was spoken. And I mean, God created everything through Word. Mm-hmm. He spoke it, or she spoke it. God spoke it, and therefore it was.
To take that concept of the spoken Word, that's a frequency. It's a vibratory wave pattern that all reality consists of. That vocation that manifested existence and experience is a frequency. It's a spoken vibration.
What can a willing student do to open up their chakra enough to be able to see the grid and see the energy? I know Jen sees it, and obviously you see it. But I was looking today at objects, realizing that it's all connected because it's all energy, it's all a grid. But honestly, I couldn't see the grid. All I saw was the chair, the table, and the swimming pool. And all these things had shape and form. I was trying to see the particles. I was trying to see the energy. What kind of practice does a student do to get there? Or do they just ask, even though I have asked?
One of the tools that I always worked with was what I call gazing. Instead of staring at something directly, like if you were to put a point on the wall, if you were to stare directly at that point, your peripheral vision is seeing everything else that's going on in the room, but your awareness is focused on that one tiny little dot. If instead of focusing on the little dot, you gaze in the direction of the dot, but focus your awareness on the outer edges of your peripheral vision. It's sort of like an exercise for your eyeballs and your brain and the way it's processing information.
See, now in my mind's eye, I can see it, and then I can see the cube, and I can see I'm inside the cube, and I can see the grids in my mind's eye. So is it the mind's eye that I should be using and not my physical eyes?
It's actually the combination of the two. It's learning to use your physical eyes so that you can be aware of a vast amount of information that your brain is processing, even though you're categorizing small little bits and pieces of what you're seeing. It's, at the same time, it is about being able to superimpose what your mind's eye sees as the potential and the reality on that third dimensional vision that you're seeing with your eyes, your physical eyes. So
okay.
it's about multi-dimensional
awareness. When you were talking earlier about the creative force, the first thing that came to mind, that my thought was music. When man was able to write music, that was an amazing insight into creativity.
Right.
The knowledge to write music.
Yeah, and that itself evolved from simply pounding out a rhythm that matched their heartbeats even on a log to trying to mimic the sound of water as it trickled across a waterfall. You know, they were basically trying to recreate nature's sounds. And look how far they've come with it. Now we have synthesizers that can literally cover every decibel of the range of sound that's capable of being heard, and they can take one frequency and they can make it sound like a saxophone, a trumpet, a voice, a drum.
I think the one that amazes me the most is the dog whistle that we cannot hear, but the dog's ear can hear. It's like, how did man create something that they can't hear, but they did?
That's exactly what this higher consciousness is all about. Just like the dog whistle is in a range of sound and vibration and frequency that we can't hear, but dogs can.
Right.
There are colors in the spectrum of light that are constantly around us that our vision is only capable of registering a certain spectrum of that light frequency and interpreting it. But there are spectrums of light above and below, like infrared and ultraviolet. It's when we can exercise our eyes and our inner eye, our third eye, to work together that were able to perceive that full spectrum of light, like being able to see an aura around somebody. Like if you start like looking at a tree that's off in the distance, if you gaze past the tree and look at your peripheral vision, like try and focus on what's going on the outer edges of where you can see, at the edge of your vision. If you're looking out there while you're gazing straight ahead, you'll begin to see a light area lighting up, a limning around the tree. That's the very beginnings of being able to see auras. And pretty soon, after you've done that enough times and you've practiced and exercised that muscle, you begin to see different shades of color in that energy, in that limning. And it allows you to perceive a different level of information. Like we talk about energy all the time as a color, but don't think of it that way in a clear manner. Like people will say, I'm feeling a little blue today. Well, blue is a vibratory rate. We might say I'm green with envy, or I'm red with rage.
That's funny.
These are all us describing a color and an association with that color. And when we open up our perception levels to where we're seeing a subtle shade of light around something and then going, wow, that makes me feel the color red, or that makes me feel this light ultraviolet color, it creates an association. It allows us to tap in to a different level of awareness about something that we've taken for granted as just being a tree, or just being a car, or just being a rock, or another person.
Well, another exercise when I was learning this is actually put your hand out at arm length, squint your eyes, and just kind of look at it, and you will see the outline of it. And eventually, it takes a little practice, but I was just using my hand to start seeing it.
So. And then you see your hand as a grid, or you just see the energy around your hand, Jen?
I see the aura.
Okay, the aura. All right.
Yeah, like a couple of books that I would probably recommend would be like Barbara Brennan's Hands of Light.
Mm-hmm.
A great starting point for developing an awareness of your body, your aura, how the energy works, how your chakras function on an emotional, mental, psychological, and spiritual level, and how that creates our wholeness of being, not just this third dimensional body, but a multiple layered wholeness of being that has an emotional level and a spiritual level and an etheric level and a cathartic level and a causal body level. It lets you start to see some of those things. And also right now, this being the age of Aquarius that we're coming into, information is so available on the internet. If you were to just go and look up, go to Google, like google.com, and just type in how to see auras.
Right.
And 1,000 pages will come up that have free little workshops on how to try this tool or that tool, and just watch a few of them and find one that resonates with you, that lights up your spirit's awareness in a way that allows you to start functioning with motivation to follow that path.
When does the age of Pisces end, and when does the age of Aquarius begin?
That's a rough one, debatable time frame, because we're talking about cycles of like 26,500 years. So, and that gets broken down into smaller cycles. And each one of these ages of Aquarius or Pisces, it really is sort of messed up because of the way we've changed our calendar so much.
Do you feel that the World War I, World War II generation are going to be all dead before we enter into the age of Aquarius?
No, I don't, actually. I feel like they're a lot of what is carrying us into that next age. They're the last to experience the world without all of the bonuses that we've gained in, say, the last 30, 40 years with television and radio and science and the internet information is way more available now, they were the last that really had to deal with things, and there wasn't anybody to share it with. They couldn't create thousands of people networking across the planet, you know, to be able to talk on, like, Facebook.
Right.
They had to find local little groups to connect with. So this expansion of the internet and just science in general, they sort of made it possible because they knew we needed it. And now that it's here, they're sticking around to tap into some of it for a little while. They want to play in this energy too.
That's interesting. I was actually thinking about that generation. I mean, they're in their 70s and their 80s and what their history has been like. I mean, I can't think of another generation that's gone through more transformation than that generation to totally being in sci-fi in the now. They are in science fiction now. What was totally inconceivable is a reality in their world now.
Definitely. And a lot of that comes from our being able to sort of experience that now, because they did go through what they went through. They helped set up the ability for people to question, to develop all these new technologies,
right,
so we can experience it.
Well, yeah, because if we consider that they were born in the 20s, in the 30s, well, let's just go back to the 20s. If we go to that turning point of the 20s, there was many, many people who, there were no phones, there were no public restrooms, there was no indoor plumbing, only the privileged had these things. And then it was, you know, mainstream probably, what, in the 40s? Maybe 20 years later? And even
yeah,
then, only in some selected growth areas, if you were still in the country, you we're still using the lantern.
Well, right. There's something that's also very interesting about the 20s and the 30s. Around that time, there was quite a few people who started writing a lot of the things that now are being the basis of the law of attraction.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so it really, the consciousness.
Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Right.
So, all that, there's quite a few people within that era that started to open their consciousness and talk about it. It was actually pretty risky of them to do it during that time, but, you know, they took practical examples of the moguls and to show how they did it by interviewing. That's why Hill's book is so powerful, because it's practical. It shows it in ways that are really working, that have worked, in the multimillionaires are running the world by just having positive thoughts. So it is a very interesting time that things really began to shift during that time frame.
Oh, definitely. And so many people think that, like, Tony Robbins and Deepak Chopra, they invented all of this.
Mm.
Actually, Mimi Blavatsky, Alice A. Bailey at the turn of the century, they were dealing with metaphysics. And then as the world started to become more of an industrialized place, that's when that awareness level started being brought out by people like Og Mandino and even Rich DeVos later on.
Right.
All people were just bringing a consciousness of the law of attraction up to a new level. And it itself has been progressively growing and becoming more in depth, more clear, more easily defined, and more accessible for more people. So it is about the entire planet going through an increase in its consciousness, about people evolving and becoming more and more of what they're capable of. And I think we talked a little bit the last time I was on the show. And you had talked with us then too, Christine, about how it is about an evolution, and it is about just raising our consciousness. It's about being more aware of what and how we think and being more responsible for what we're thinking and how we're thinking, creating the world that we experience. It's actually very, very simple and very basic. And as we focus on the attention and awareness levels at that level, more and more of our awarenesses expand and we start to have psychic abilities or past life awarenesses. We can tap into many different aspects of ourselves that have been undeveloped that suddenly come into bloom in a very rapid manner.
And I was just thinking, like, even healing, feeling and sensing, just putting your hands together and feeling the vibration between your two hands.
Well, you know, the ninjas
that alone is, I'm sorry, what, Christine?
Ninjas could heal themselves through that.
Oh, well, quite a few people too, the monks, the Buddhist monks. I mean, there's quite a few people that, and you say today and just your thoughts can really do it. So we've got about 3 or 4 minutes left, and I want to just kind of wrap this up because Ken will be on again next week. We're going to continue this conversation because, hey, 2011 is here, and this is a big turning point in many ways. It's astrology-wise and energy-wise, this is like the final like push to really focus and get where you're supposed to be going. So, Ken, what kind of things would you like to wrap up for today and also give kind of an idea of what might be transpiring next time?
Well, a quick summary of what we've discussed today is that the chakras and raising our consciousness is about raising our vibration up through the chakras, developing the third eye and the crown chakra, which allows us to tap into that fourth dimensional aspect. And that fourth dimensional aspect being time and space. Next time, what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about how, like, for example, we're in the third dimension, but we function from a second two-dimensional awareness. We basically are still consciously focusing on duality. The fourth dimension is accessed by unifying those two energies and creating that third force, which will bring us where we're actually functioning in a fourth dimensional body in a third dimensional reality. It's about raising the consciousness. So next time, I'd like to take us to the point where we're discussing functioning in the fourth dimensional awareness and starting to access the fifth, sixth, and beyond.
Which is very possible and not as difficult as you really think it is. There is a lot of information, as Ken mentioned, out on the web to get the work done and to raise your awareness. One thing that I would strongly suggest for everyone is journaling. That really is amazing how it really works out a lot of the kinks and a lot of the things that really push you. Does Ken have a website?
Mm-hmm.
Not yet, but I am in the process of putting one together that will be called Offerings of Love, and it will be coming very soon. I can be reached. I think we are friends on Facebook. Feel free to contact me anytime you want and see me on. If I could, I'd like to leave everyone with a little bit of homework to do throughout the next week before we come back next week.
Okay.
A very simple exercise of working with that consciousness level. I would like, if you've got a pen and paper handy, write this down. I am accessing all of the information that I require to increase the vibration and frequency of my body.
Okay, say that again.
I am accessing all of the information my body requires.
That's a good enough one. I am accessing all of the information that my body requires to increase its consciousness and awareness.
Okay.
And just say that every day, in the morning before you get out of bed and at night before you go to sleep. And give yourself 5 minutes to take a few deep breaths and repeat that over and over again. You can even shorten it down. Just do some kind of an I am declaration.
Sure.
So, I am increasing my vibration. I am becoming more aware. And just doing that for the week and journaling a little bit about it. How did that affect you from day to day? And then we'll talk about that next week.
Just writing it raised my vibration.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you can just write it. And I will have it on the BBS page for Abstract Illusions. So if you didn't get it down, I will get that up tonight so you can see it. So with that, I thank Christina Thompson for bringing up this question. I think it's a really important one that a lot of people may be wondering, so I thank you very much and coming on and participating in the conversation. And Ken Roberts, always so much information and always a pleasure to talk to you. And we will have Ken back on next week. So we will be continuing the conversation and doing our homework until then. So this is Jennifer Hellman saying, with each breath of air, we hope you gain new insights and information. Till next time, many blessings and good night.